Good morning. I want to welcome you to the Subcommittee on Metropolitan Council Accountability and Transparency, and appreciate your being here. We have one small bill, but we do have a quorum. So if there would be somebody who wishes to move the minutes of
the March 18th meeting.
All right. Representative Nash moves the minutes. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. All right. The minutes are adopted. Thank you. And before us, we have House File 3644, Representative Wagenius. Representative, we were hoping you'd bring your co-author with you, but...
too shocking for the committee, actually.
We loved it.
Instead, I brought on with me Andrew Johnson, who is a council member who, in the city of Minneapolis, who actually recommended the proposal that we're bringing forward in this bill. So would you just let me to describe it for a moment? I understand you want a little bit of testimony about sack charges.
Representative Wagenius, if you would, and just introduce yourself for the committee and proceed with your testimony.
Okay. Then, all right. Jean Wagenius, I represent part of South Minneapolis and part of Richfield. And as I said, with me is Andrew Johnson, who is a city council member in the 12th ward in Minneapolis, and our districts overlap somewhat, not entirely. We do have some testifiers for this bill, and we'll bring them down in a moment. But to just start, Andrew, why don't Andrew, you tell the problem you brought, and I will tell you how I solved it, which is very short.
Absolutely.
Very good. Mr. Johnson, if you'll introduce yourself, please.
Thank you, Representative Wagenius. Madam Chair and committee members, thank you for having us here today and hearing this bill. You know, from my standpoint, working with small business owners in Ward 12, which is around 30,000 residents, I hear about SAC fees constantly from our small business owners. These are the single largest fee assessed on the business owners by the government. And I have seen businesses struggle to open and actually decide not to open as a result of these fees. I've seen businesses go under because of these fees, and I've seen businesses inhibited from expanding because of these fees. And in this particular case, I understand we're not taking on all of SAC fees, even though I hate these SAC fees vehemently and think we should get rid of them altogether. But in this case, what we're addressing is outdoor seating for our businesses. And from my perspective, in ultimately in economics, what is called is a dead weight loss, which is that you have fees that are so excessive in a lot of cases, it is uneconomical for businesses to add their outdoor seating, which would otherwise enhance the community and help the small business owners. And as a result, for instance, you'll hear from a coffee shop owner who in my ward has not put out sidewalk seating because of these fees. As a result, the business doesn't put outdoor seating, my council doesn't get their revenue, the community misses out on outdoor seating, the customers miss out, so everyone loses as a result of these fees in many, many cases. They are excessive and hurt our small businesses, and what we want to see is more outdoor seating. We want to see folks being able to sit out there and enjoy their coffee, enjoy their pizza, have a beer, and be a part of the community and active out on the streetscape itself. I also firmly believe that these SAC fees are based off of a flawed premise. When you look at a coffee shop in the neighborhood that wants to put out outdoor seating, right? It's based off the idea that there's somehow going to be more flushes of the facilities, more usage of the facilities, right? But who's coming to the coffee shop? People from the neighborhood. They're either using the bathroom at home or they're going to use it at the coffee shop. But overall, for the system within the city, there's not a net increase as a result of their usage. And really, the only there's only a few scenarios where I see these SAC fees actually being justified personally. But I'll save that because obviously this is about outdoor seating. And I hope that the committee will help our small businesses, help create jobs, help support our local economy by passing this bill You will be heroes within our small business community. Trust me, because every single small business owner knows what a SAC fee is, and they hate it, and they're going to love you for taking this first step in great SAC fee reform.
Very good. I think we have a question from a member. Representative,
let me just call your attention to the language of this bill, which is on the back, and on lines 2.22, it says the council must not impose a SAC charge on an existing eating or drinking establishment due to the addition or expansion of outdoor seating. And who it applies to are lines 2.27, 2.28, defines eating and drinking establishments, coffee shops, bars, restaurants, and similar businesses that serve food or beverages to customers on site. So this is a narrow group. We're not taking on a large change. We're taking on a small change. And with that, if there are not questions for me, I would like to have some of the witnesses who can describe what's going on that might be make this a little more real.
I believe we have a question from a member. So, Representative Nash?
Madam Chair, thank you, Representative Wagenius. I like this bill so much I'm going to move it before the committee just to cover that, but also to say, and to Mr. Johnson as well, when I served as mayor in the city of Waconia, we fought long and hard on SAC issues for coffee shops and outdoor dining, and we had a downtown revitalization project that I initiated, and one of our concerns was in expanding the sidewalks to promote outside dining, that we would be incurring horribly large extra costs for those business owners because of SAC fees. And your line of argumentation, Mr. Johnson, is exactly right as it relates to flushing in the neighborhood, if you will. I have breweries, distilleries, and wineries all in my district, and it's a fairly ludicrous argument that if you come and consume a beverage on site that there's a one-to-one ratio of flushes. We're talking about sewer access fees, so we'll say the word flushing, but it's a great bill. I would urge members to vote yes. Thank you.
Thank you. If we could have our two testifiers, well, we have several testifiers. We will be quick. This is not going to take us a long time, but if they could come down.
Welcome to the committee, and please come to the table and testify for us.
Then we have some other folks. Mr. McElroy would like to testify, so we have a
Hi, my name's Ann Erickson. My husband and I own Kenai Coffee in South Minneapolis. We're a small neighborhood coffee shop located on the ground level of the Hiawatha Square condo building. We are on the intersection of 38th Street and 28th Avenue, and we share that intersection with three other small businesses, all of which have been established in the last 5 years. We have owned our coffee shop for 2.5 years. We are 1,000 square feet, and we seat 21 customers, and we estimate that about 80% of our customers come from the Standish-Erickson neighborhood, and most of our customers walk to our coffee shop. At this time last year, I thought it would be nice to have some outdoor seating outside our coffee shop. I felt like it would provide opportunities to promote our business, but also as a space for our neighbors to congregate, and it would just build a stronger community. I knew I needed an sidewalk cafe license from the city of Minneapolis, so I did my homework. I completed all the necessary paperwork needed and went down to City Hall one afternoon. I had completed all the steps necessary, except for the SAC determination letter, of which I really didn't know much about. But what I found out was that I needed to pay a one-time SAC fee for just under $1,500 to get our sidewalk cafe license. Mm-hmm. This was for 3 tables and 6 chairs, just the kind you see outside coffee shops. After I pulled my jaw from the floor, I further questioned that person at City Hall and then made a call to the Met Council as well. And I found that this $1,500 SAC fee applied from 1 chair outside your shop to 30 chairs, of which I was asking for 6 chairs. Personally, it just didn't make sense for my husband and I to pay that $1,500 SAC fee charge for just 3 tables and 6 chairs, which could really only be accessed 6 months of the year. And being a new business, we needed to put our money into strengthening our own growing business. As you know, coffee shops, our highest ticket item is like $550. So just now, 2.5 years into our business, we're starting to consistently see a profit. So it saddened me that we couldn't offer this outdoor space because I really think it would be an asset to our business as well as to the community, but it just did not make financial sense at the time to pay that $1,500 SAC charge. So even this summer, I'm not considering it just because it's just too high a price for our business right now, being so new.
Very good. Thank you. Representative Wagenius, do you have other testifiers?
Yes, I have one. Would you like to say a few words?
Sure.
Welcome, sir. Please give us your name for the record. And
yes, Sam Nestigan, Parkway Pizza. We opened in 2006, and we took over an existing building. And in 2007, we applied for a liquor license, and it turned out SAC had never been paid on that building since 1972, when SAC started being a mechanism to fund the sewers. So we got hit with 4 SAC units that were all charged at the 2006 rate. And so that was our second year in business, and we were told by the Met Council that we could either pay the SAC fees or we could go out of business. The choice was ours. So that totaled $8,000, and that year I took home $7,000. And so it was, what am I going to do? You know, now it's only 24, and give a 24-year-old guy a choice like that, and what the hell? You know, I'm gonna choose to pay the SAC fee and keep trying here at this business. But a lot of folks who aren't 24, I mean, that would have put them under. Then we moved our business 4 blocks from that location. We moved up to 44th and Minnehaha. I did not get to take those 4 credits that I worked 60 hours a week, 52 weeks a year for. I didn't get to take those with me. Those stayed with my landlord. So the way they were applied back then, it was a transfer of wealth. It was $8,000 that went from me to my landlord. And now he's got a new tenant in there, and he's going to be able to give that to his new tenant. I, however, had to pay $16,000 to buy 8 more SAC credits at our new store, and I couldn't take the 4 with me. I mean, it was just it seems like a funding mechanism that really stifles growth, which now that I'm an incumbent is good for me. I would like it if the Met Council would prevent new businesses from opening in our neighborhood, because then you have to buy my pizza. So as an incumbent, it is beneficial. However, as a community member, as a guy that lives in the neighborhood, it's bad for all of us. I mean, when you stifle growth and competition like that, that doesn't help anybody. So I would encourage to look at different mechanisms for funding.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Very eye-opening. Do we have other testifiers, please?
2 more, I think.
Okay. Good morning.
Madam Chair, members of the committee,
Joe
Bagnoli, McGranche Law Firm, on behalf of the Minnesota Licensed Beverage Association, the association that represents bars and liquor stores in the state of Minnesota. And we are here to wholeheartedly support this provision. This provision actually, or the awareness of SAC fees, obviously small business owners who I represent most specifically in terms of bars, came to light when the smoking ban passed. And all of a sudden, bars had came to light most extremely. We heard of the most about it when the smoking ban passed, when bars said, all right, we're going to put a patio outside, and what we think we're going to do is just transfer customers from inside to have a smoking break, and we want to put a couple of tables and chairs. And as you heard, what came out of that was everybody that wanted to put a few tables and chairs for people to go out and have a smoke break, maybe bring their beverage out with them, and in some cases actually develop something outside. All of a sudden their businesses were being charged very, very high amounts. We had felt like an enormous amount of conversations about this, and I honestly can't remember why, and I think it was whatever the political winds that existed at the time didn't allow us to go forward with legislation like this, but this is a humongous issue for small businesses, caught from anybody who's essentially serves a liquid or has a place to eat, and inhibits community development, in my view. So we strongly support it, and thank you for the time.
Very good. Thank you. And Mr. McElroy, welcome to the committee.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Dan McElroy. I'm Executive Vice President of the Minnesota Restaurant Association. We have about 2,000 member locations, of which significant number are in the seven-county metropolitan area. And this is an issue that rings my phone fairly often. People taking to add economic impact, to make an investment, to improve their business, and are hit with a bill that comes to them as both a surprise and a source of confusion. Typically, when someone adds outdoor dining, they do not add kitchen space. So they haven't added the capacity to create more product. They have added an option for places where people can enjoy that product. And so we're very supportive of Representative Wagenius and Representative Drazkowski's bill. We think it is the right thing to do. I can imagine my friends at the Med Council have some concerns. I think in the long term, it is good for the economic vitality of our communities without significant impact on the Med Council or their facilities. So we urge a positive vote. We look forward to working with the authors and others as this works its way through the process. Thank you for considering it, Madam Chair and members.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. McElroy. And Representative Wagenius, do you have other testifiers at this point?
That is all of our testifiers.
Okay. All right. Are there others in the audience that wish to speak for or against? Please come forward.
Madam Chair and members, thank you. My name is Patricia Nauman. I'm the Executive Director of Metro Cities, and just had a nice meeting with Representative Wagenius about her bill. I do just want to offer some comments about how Metro Cities looks at the SAC program and the concerns we would have if the program is used to subsidize any particular use and what that does potentially for equity amongst other payers of SAC. SAC is a user fee, and generally speaking, our policies support having that user fee reflect the cost of service. And if you start subsidizing particular uses, it does mean that other payers pay more who are also paying SAC. So generally, our policies have been very explicit in not supporting any kind of subsidies. Having said that, Metro Cities has worked with the Metropolitan Council in past years, actually, many times with different types of SAC task forces to look at different issues related to the program with respect to how uses should, with the criteria for any particular use. And with respect to the outdoor seating issue, I know that issue was looked at in a few years ago, and a discount has been applied, as you've heard. Certainly Metro Cities would be very happy to work with Representative Wagenius and the Met Council to take another look at whether there should be another determination around how outdoor seating is calculated. But again, we'd have concerns about if you open the door to subsidizing any particular payer of SAC, that it opens the door potentially for other exemptions to come into play, and then that raises the rates for all the payers in the region. So we would have some concerns about that. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Are there others that wish to testify? Certainly, come forward. Looks like the Met Council would like to speak. Mr. Roulette, you will enlighten us, I'm sure.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Jason Willett. I'm an Assistant General Manager for the Environmental Services Division of the Metropolitan Council. I was asked to say a little bit of the background about what SAC is and what are some of the options in there. So, first of all, MCES is primarily the wastewater utility in the Twin Cities. We have 8 treatment plants. We have about 600 miles of the big pipes that go between city borders. They connect to probably 5,000 miles of city pipes. So we sort of serve as a wholesaler for wastewater treatment. Our budget is $264 million this year. The wastewater functions are 100% paid by user fee. There isn't any tax money involved in this at all. The largest fee is a volume charge that we charge to the cities based on their annual volume. We measure flows at city borders. And so to the extent that they proportionally pass that on, those that are using a little bit of volume also, they would pay less. To the extent that outdoor spaces are only used occasionally. SAC is our second largest fee. It was about $35 million in this budget. It's money that has to come from somewhere to pay for the services that we provide. It is, as best we can calculate it, a cost of service. It's been in place since 1973. Again, this statute refers to what is sort of a wholesale fee that we charge to the cities and the communities that provide the actual retail connections for businesses and homes. The cities have a number of options. They can add fees on top of this. They cannot charge it. We have a deferral program. There is a opportunity for cities to allow credit transfer. There are a whole number of rules around that, and I won't really get into this. I think I just wanted to say that what it pays for, we have a $1.3 billion of outstanding of debt right now, and it pays for a portion of that debt service. It needs to be covered somehow. We have had, as Ms. Nauman mentioned, a number of public meetings on this issue and other task force. They're all available on our website. We appreciate the chance to work with Representative Wagenius, Metro Cities, and others to try and see if there's a consensus to improve it, of course, at any time. With that, I'll just answer questions.
Mr. Willits, when you read how narrowly, I guess, this language is written, I mean, is there any way to kind of just ballpark estimate? I mean, it doesn't sound like we're talking about scarcely any sort of new costs to you.
Madam Chair, I can't come up with a number off the top of my head. We'll be happy to try and figure out how many outdoor spaces. I failed to mention that as a result of this specific conversation in 2009, we do apply a 75% discount to outdoor spaces, so the same number of seats, only are paying 25% of what they would pay inside. Our technical rationale for that was that when our system is challenged, tends to be the really wet days when we get a lot of influent infiltration into the system, so the capacity on those nice days when people sit here is a little less valuable. We tried to have the engineers study, you know, exactly how much difference that makes, and frankly, that's just too hard. You know, with the storms vary and they fade, and we don't know when there's travel times in the pipe, but it's obvious that, you know, they're going to get used a lot less or not at all in the wet time. So the 75% discount to this space applies now. We can try to estimate how much it is. I would agree with your guesstimate, though. It's probably not a lot of money. We have built this capacity in advance. We have the debt service to pay. And every new capacity, every kind, and there's lots of good causes that complain to us a lot, would like to get out of this. But we need to pay this debt service somehow.
Mm-hmm. Representative Nash. Question.
Yeah, Madam Chair, thank you to the testifier. Again, personal experience from many years of fighting for this very thing. You know, when we engaged with your office, we were told for the local coffee shops, for the local restaurants, that there was no really measurable impact. So I find this, you know, troublesome that you're here now telling us that it is. And I also know from serving as a mayor that the battle against I&I is a battle that cities also bear. So lumping them together seems to be a little bit specious to me for you to do that. But again, this is a huge impact for business owners. I have people in my district who want to open up sidewalk dining. It has hampered revitalization projects of cities. This is something I think is a very small impact. And again, back to the original argumentation of it not being injected into the system there, coupled with the fact that in conversations with Met Council when I was serving as mayor, we were told that there was no way, and I believe you've just confirmed, that there's no way for you to measure it, and yet you're anecdotally saying, oh, it's going to be a huge impact. I just don't see it. So can you clarify for me one more time your position on the impact of sidewalk dining on both injecting new material into the system and maybe address my I&I issue as well.
Mr. Willett.
Madam Chair, Representative Nash, thank you. All capacity takes up, all additional capacity is going to take up some capacity in our pipes and city pipes that we have to stand ready to serve. SAC is based on a cost of service regime where we figure out the number of seats that basically correspond to a residential equivalent unit. That's $2,485 for a new house right now. So the seats, either if they're fixed, We can count the seats or the square feet around them. But again, it certainly would take up some of the capacity. The argument I was trying to make was that because of II, and I realize those are important and controversial issues that are somewhat separate, that's when our system is challenged. And so this is a different time. So that's how we rationalized giving the 75% discount. It was actually a good thing because it doesn't happen at the same thing as the II is challenging our system and threatening spills and so forth. But, you know, there, we certainly do have a lot of analysis about restaurants generally that came up with the criteria that they're used and how many seats. That the engineers study that once in a while based on occupancy and sewer flows. One of the things that lots of people miss is that this is an availability charge, not the volume charge, which would be less if it was used less. But we have to stand ready to serve whatever the maximum could happen at one time. All of the SAC fees are determined based on what is the maximum potential capacity use in 24-hour period. So that's just the analytical basis for that. So if all the seats can be full, and I believe they do occasionally on really nice days get full, then we need to stand ready to serve that. The city pipes need to stand ready to serve that. But again, I think that we're certainly open to having more conversation about this, if you wish.
Representative Nash, anything else?
Madam Chair, nothing further.
Okay. Representative Mulbright.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to the testifier. In some of your previous comments, and just want clarification on this, but you say somehow you've got to make payments on the debt service. Is it then my impression that the SAC fees are primarily going towards, in a sense, the catch-all to pay the service on the debt?
Mr. Willett?
Madam Chair, Representative Albright, it is by law used just for a portion of the debt service. The volume fees pay roughly two-thirds of it. The SAC fees pay only that. That's all we're allowed to do. And so if any particular sort of establishment or capacity demand is exempted, others will pay more.
Madam Chair.
Representative Albright.
Thank you. And to the testifier then, and so in Representative Nash's line of questioning, and in your responses, again, help me get clarification on your answers. But you said it's very difficult to determine the volume on the I&I, primarily derived from SAC fees, if that's correct. And so if that's the case, then how do you come up with the metric for justifying, as the testifier did, a $16,000 SAC fee for six chairs? It seems and incredible, and maybe the testifier could come down, and Madam Chair, if the testifier that moved his business and lost his credits could come down and explain that. It seems onerous at the very best in terms of how the metrics work. The Met Council, you know, when they say someone's got to pay for it and someone's either got to subsidize someone else or not, that doesn't sound like a fundamental metric that's working.
Mr. Estigan, do you want to comment?
Nestigan.
Oh, okay, yep. Sorry.
We, so much city. We actually had more than six chairs. It was Kenai Coffee with their six. We had a patio capacity of about 24, 25, and I think we technically have the same square footage on our patio. They calculated 15 square feet equals one seat. So every four seats, or is it eight? Is a SAC unit.
There's 10 seats for SAC.
Now it's 10. Has that changed?
It has been examined. I'm sorry, Madam Chair.
Oh.
The engineers have occasionally re-examined. It was 8 for a number of years. It's 10.
Okay, so anyway,
Mr. Nestigan.
Yes?
Please proceed.
Oh, sorry. I'm not up on the procedure. When we were in business and we had bought our four SAC units, and then when we moved, we had to pay for eight more SAC units as we expanded our interior dining in our move. We about doubled our interior dining. However, our exterior dining stayed about the same. But just to be clear, we did move just four blocks. It's no change on the load that the sewer would bear. There's no way to argue that.
President Albright?
Madam Chair, I think as the council member has alluded to, that it seems as if the SAC fees are, dare I say, arbitrary, and without a metric that can be justified to the testifier's case. I think that either the metric becomes more transparent and understandable to the people that pay it and appreciate what they're getting for the service, or I think that it should go by the wayside.
Very good. Any other comments? Any other testifiers wishing to speak for or against the bill at this point? Okay. Well, thank you very much for your testimony. And I wonder if the representative, do you have some final comments then?
Well, I could make some final comments, but I think I'm going to rely on Representative Nash's description because it is the one I feel that is at the
mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Very good. With that, I'll renew the motion. House File 3644 will be referred to the Government Operations Committee. And all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. Very good. The motion passes. And I believe we are adjourned for the day, unless there's other business. Thank you very much.